got to talk. I got to tell what I feel. I got to talk about my life as I see it.
Biggie.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell.
I'm not worried about work. I'm worried about robots.
On 920 The Game.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah, let's go Las Vegas here on this Friday. End of the week here on the Mac Attack. Ryan Big Mac McKinnell got homie Mark Seidel across the way holding it down. We got a full day of sports stories to get into. Okay, maybe not all sports stories. Got an update on Aunt Becky. We'll talk about that in about 20 minutes. Aunt Becky might be out of a job, and her kids might be out of school. I don't know if that's a tease, but
boo-hoo.
If you've been following that story. Mark, how closely have you been following that story? Twitter close?
Yeah, I just saw it, and like when it first came out, I was like, oh, man, this is crazy. But... Yeah, it is what it is, man.
It's kind of like we've gotten used to it, right? It's
rich
like,
people are going to rich people.
Yeah, and you made that point the very first day. You're like, what's the difference between this scandal and people, you know, donating $1 million to a library or getting your name on a classroom or paying your way essentially into school?
Yeah.
So, and as more we sit with it, the more that kind of becomes clear that I think that's kind of the narrative of a lot of people are asking. But, yeah, we'll talk about that coming up here shortly. But we got to lead with, before we get into the opening round, the Running Rebels fall to San Diego State yesterday. Their season is over. Now, we don't talk a lot of Running Rebels on this show, but obviously, you know, we watch it closely. I know you do as well. We talk about it on Cofield a lot. So, you know, I've been to a few games this year. I don't know what you want to say. I look back at expectations. That's what I always go back to with this team.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a Running Rebel squad who's only been to one Sweet 16 since the Tarkanian era. So I don't know what fans want. I understand they're upset. There are expectations when you talk about a storied program like UNLV, for sure.
Yeah, a school that's won a championship before.
And there aren't a lot of those schools, mind you.
No. So, but you got to ask yourself, are the expectations reasonable?
Exactly.
You know, where you've got people who are, you know, remembering something that happened 25 years ago, over 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And living in that past, at some point in time, you have to sit back and ask yourself, are you placing expectations that are too far out of the realm of possibility on a school?
I take my satellite hat off and put my local hat on. Can I say the B word?
Huh?
Can I say the B word?
No. We'll just say no.
Damn it. All right, nostalgia is a blank.
Is a B word.
Is a B word. That is corny. That is corny, but it's all good. It's all
man, you corny.
Yeah, man, you corny, man. But no, it is. It is. And then with that comes expectations. I was talking to somebody right before the show started, and I was relating it to the Fighting Irish and their kind of realization over the last 20 years. I'm talking about the football program, but it's something that I have. That's where I come from. I've been here 12 years. I've been coming to Vegas my whole life, but I come from South Bend. That is where I was raised and went to high school and all that, right?
Uh-huh.
So I lived through that whole era of watching that program essentially get right with the reality of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar in regards to 1990, 1991 with the Rebels and 1988. For the Fighting Irish. Now, before that with the Fighting Irish, many more championships, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. I get that. But there was a adjustment period over the last 30 years where Notre Dame realized they just aren't what they thought they were.
Uh-huh.
And that came through a succession of coaching changes, coaching snubs, Urban Meyer consistently saying, no, I'm good on South Bend, thank you, even though he felt a pull to it, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what's happening with UNLV. UNLV has to realize that they aren't UNLV from night, and that's just the painful truth of it. I know some people don't want to hear that. They want to believe that they are still this powerhouse and that they're still relevant on a national scale. I don't know if they are. I don't know if they are. Now, obviously, there's a lot of talk around Marvin Menzies. I understand that. A lot of people want him gone.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to expectations and your place in the sport and in the business that is the NCAA, right? I don't know if you're going to do better right now. Now, if a Thad Matta comes along, if a Rick Pitino comes along, I've been on record. I don't want to see Rick Pitino here in Las Vegas.
Neither do I.
Okay. So that makes two of us. Now, I think we're in the minority with that. At least when I look across the landscape of social media, UNLV fans don't care about the reputation. They don't care about his past transgressions. They care about winning, and they care about packing the Thomas and Mack. Now, there is no, I don't think there's any disagreement from you and I. If Rick Pitino were to be hired by the UNLV running Rebels, you're going to have an attendance boost. And you're probably going to have a wins boost.
Definitely.
But what does that come, at what cost does that come with? You're already a program that has had its problems with the NCAA. That's well documented. Yeah. I don't need to run down that history, right? Now you would be re-upping with another guy who has a shadowy past. Like, what's that worth? Like, what's your soul worth as a program? What's your brand worth as a program to go out and get a guy like that? And I know there's two sides to that, and people think, oh, well, you know, those were trumped up accusations. You know, what was actually proven? How much did he actually know? Listen, it's been a lineage of problematic behavior for Rick Pitino.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just at his last stop, right? So I don't know. I've been on record. I'd like to see Menzies get a fourth year just because he's got people returning next year.
Yeah.
I think 4 years is a good number. What can anyone do in 3 years?
Well, so, I mean, I'm on the same page as you. I believe Marvin Menzies deserves one more year. We've seen, you know, whether it hasn't been drastic, but we've seen an improvement with this team, you know, 11 wins in the conference, first time in 8 years, I believe. And, you know, they got a bye in the tournament. Now they lost the game yesterday, so, you know, season effectively over. But, yeah, and it's a really, really young team filled with a lot of freshmen, a lot of sophomores. Yep. So I'm on record saying I think Menzies deserves one more year.
Just one more. And, listen, I understand, right? If people don't want Menzies, like I get that. I'm on board with it to a point to where, like, you're not wrong. It's like a subjective type of thing, right? Yeah. Like, if you say Menzies shouldn't be here and you pose a lot of the arguments that people are making, I'm with you. I fully understand. I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer in what happens next for the Runnin' Rebels. I think it's just a measured approach to expectations. What do you want? And also, who's available? Because I do think you need to taper expectations, right, about who would come to UNLV and take this job. And, you know, I don't want to say take that chance, but I think if you're of a coach of a certain level, it is a chance because of the scrutiny and some of the things that will follow. But there is also that flip side. If you come here, you win, you get a tournament berth, you get multiple tournament berths.
Yeah.
You know, you're in a really good spot because the city will be fully behind you and, you know, support you in very massive ways.
Yeah, and like you said, I don't think Desiree Reid-Francois is going to fire Marvin Menzies without having the plan already in place. And I think, you know, she would probably be doing herself and the school a disservice if she didn't, you know, at least put some feelers out there and see, you know, who would be interested in the gig. And, yeah, if you do get a, you know, somebody like a Thad Matta, or you know, Fred Hoiberg,
sure,
somebody like that. You know, if that is a possibility, then yeah, you know, I think you need to look into it. But I do believe that Marvin Menzies deserves one more year to, you know, get this team to an NCAA tournament.
Yeah. And if it's mediocre, if it's average, if it's like what it was this year, cool.
Yep,
he had his chance. Four years, almost half a decade.
You can't just keep shuffling coaches in every 3 years. That's not how you build a program.
Nope.
That's you know, you're not going to do anything.
And I also think that keeps better coaches, other options from signing with you.
Yeah.
Because where's the security?
Exactly.
Make me feel like I'm a part
of
this
100%
unit.
The coaching world is always refer to it as a coaching fraternity. Mm-hmm. You know, most of these guys are pretty close. And
we've seen that with Menzies in particular and others, for sure.
You don't think that these guys talk they see how one guy is treated, and they look at that and they, you know, I don't want to be treated that same way. I don't want to go here and in 2 years, they're already talking about me being on the hot seat.
Yeah, well, we will keep an eye on that. Long off season ahead for the Runnin' Rebels. Their season ends yesterday at the Thomas and Mack in the Mountain West tournament, but as we said, you know, might be some hope on the horizon. We'll see what happens with Marvin Menzies. One thing remains clear. They got to figure a way to get butts in those seats because we're coming off the third year of this, and it is obviously not good. All right, let's hit it. Time for the opening round.
It's time for the opening round, brought to you by VIP Collision.
Got a little bit of an amalgamation of stories to hit you with this opening round, but we're going to hit you on the opening round probably with at least the most important story in this broadcasting group today. And we've talked about this whenever this happens. It turns into civil war here at Lotus Broadcasting. It's time for UNC versus Duke. Third time this season, Mark. But tonight it matters more than ever. It's for the ACC tournament. Also, I think you know this, Duke has Zion.
Yeah, who?
Nice try, player.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, it's a fun time, man. I'm of the belief there's not a better rivalry in sports than Duke North Carolina. Two schools, 7 miles apart, one road. You literally jump out on the 501,
and they're always good. I would like to make that play right, like Big Ten country or where I grew up. It's not 7 miles, but when you look at Michigan State, Michigan, Notre Dame, mm-hmm. IU, Purdue, Ohio State, like that is all within about 3 hours.
Yeah.
And it creates regional rivalries in very real ways, but there is something about the 7 miles, but even beyond that, the fact that these two programs, they just never drop off. And I mean, they. I think UNC was out of the top 25 a little bit a couple years ago, I seem mm-hmm. to remember. But that was like the story. Like, yeah. Oh, one of them's not in the top 25. They're yeah. always there. They're always pulling recruits. And I'm with you. As someone who has no dog in that proverbial fight, right? Like, I'm always interested when Duke and yeah. UNC square off.
Yeah. And, you know, both of them in the top five.
Yep. Shocking.
Yeah. you know, so, yeah. And Zion back, he looked unbelievable last night. Well, I think 13 of 13, didn't miss a single shot.
He was eye level with the rim again.
Yeah,
so I think his legs are right.
Man, that dude is a monster, man. So yeah. It should be fun tonight. You know, one more go around. You know what's crazy? As long as these two schools have been playing each other and the rivalry, they've never played each other in the big tournament. Never.
What?
They have never played each other in the NCAA tournament.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
When you think about, as you said, the amount of winning they do, and mm-hmm. how many they're in the tournament every year.
Both teams, every single year.
Never played.
Nope. They, 2 years ago, they were. If Duke would have won, they would have played in the Final Four.
Wow.
But Duke lost in the Elite Eight. So yeah,
that might be too much for the state of North Carolina to handle, man. If that happened.
I've always said I'm going to die of a heart attack watching a Carolina Duke game.
Well, I'm going to die of a heart attack watching the Chicago Bears offseason. Not necessarily as kind of a corny segue, but it did bring up immediate thought that I've been having recently. I'm not sure what the Chicago Bears are doing. It looks like Jordan Howard is on the market, and I bring this up because one of the landing places that has been rumored is potentially the Oakland Raiders.
Hmm.
Maybe they. It's rumored that the best that Chicago's receiving right now, and again, rumors, is a third-round pick for Jordan Howard. Now, you're talking about the fourth year in the league, where he's entering the fourth year. His first three seasons, there's been a steady decline on average. I understand that.
Uh-huh.
But he was like 50 yards short of 1,000 last year. His first year, he had like 1,300 yards rushing in like 15 games. Again, he's on a smallish contract.
Yeah.
And you're talking about a guy who's pretty much a guaranteed 1,000-yard runner, and you're only is this the way the market is right now for running backs? Is this a knock or an indicator on Jordan Howard? Do the Bears know something that we don't? I don't know. I'm as a Bears fan, I'm kind of shocked that this is being shopped and that this is even an option that you're thinking about dumping off Jordan Howard, a young running back who's mm-hmm. presumably just entering his prime. That said, if he lands in Oakland, I would say that's a really good get for Oakland, especially if you can get him for a third rounder.
Definitely. Well, yeah, it would be great for Oakland, but I think running backs are viewed differently now. Yeah. You know, they're most teams look at them as they're a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
So I was actually, when Le'Veon Bell got the contract he got,
mm-hmm.
I didn't think he was going to get that much.
Okay.
I didn't think he was going to get the kind of guaranteed money that he did get. But you know, I think you view the top three, you know, three or four running backs,
Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott.
You look at those guys and they are of a different breed.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it's pretty much plug and play.
Okay.
You know, running backs just not viewed in the same light as it used to be, you know, even 10 years ago.
That's so wild to me because I don't know. I like the difference between a game changer and a really good player like Jordan Howard, who I wouldn't categorize as an Ezekiel Elliott, as a Gurley, as a game changer. I don't know how big that difference actually is.
That's
is it a line issue? Is it a team issue? Is it? I
think when you look at it, you can, you know, when you looked at somebody, I think it was McFadden, Darren McFadden. You know, when he was playing behind a great offensive line, he was putting up 1,400 yards. And, you know, then you move to another team and he's, you know, rushing for 600.
Yeah.
I'm of the belief you can pretty much plug and play anybody. If you have a good offensive line, you know, a running back is a running back is a running back for the most part.
Yeah.
They're going to be able to find the holes. Now there's a difference, you know, between a Todd Gurley and someone else that he might be able to find that hole a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
But you know, if you put together a good offensive line, they can make a decent running back look great.
Let's stay on the Homer front. Got some news out of your home team, Tennessee Titans, formerly the Houston Oilers, which is why you are a Titans fan.
Yes.
A true fan.
Yes.
The truest of the true.
They moved with me when I left Houston. They said we got to follow our boy, man.
There you go. He just landed Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
I think it says more about their belief or lack thereof in Marcus Mariota. What do you? I mean, you're the Titans fan.
Well, it's. I think it's the belief of when you look at Marcus Mariota, he has yet to play a full 16-game schedule since he's come to the NFL. And, you know, last year the Titans were one game from making the playoffs. Mariota was hurt.
You're right.
Blaine Gabbert was the backup, and I think that's
now
what,
that's an appropriate time for who?
but I think that's what kept the Titans out of the playoffs. And you know, I don't think that they want to be caught in that position again. You know, they know where, you know, what Mariota is, and he's a running quarterback, and he's always one shot away from missing a couple games. So I think they wanted to you know, shore up. And you know, looking at Tannehill as a backup quarterback,
ain't
you
bad.
Know, that you can do a lot worse than having Ryan Tannehill as your backup quarterback.
No question.
So I think they wanted to you know, make sure that their backup was solidified, and I think they did a pretty damn good job.
All right, let's transition over to college sports. I was gonna say football, but we don't know how deep this goes into the football. Probably not at all, really, but it has affected football programs like USC, Stanford, and other colleges. Obviously, I'm talking about this Hollywood NCAA pay-to-play, pay-to-learn, pay-to-get-in scandal. I don't know. We don't have a cute name for it. We don't have a gate.
Pay-to-play gate.
NCAA gate. Well, there's like 10 of those.
Pay-to-admit gate.
Yeah, right? There's nothing. Nothing rolls off the tongue. But I will say... Becky kind of rolls off the tongue. We haven't been using her actual name, Lori Loughlin. It just kind of sticks better to use the word Aunt Becky. Everyone knows Aunt Becky. Well, Aunt Becky has no longer Aunt Becky. She's been fired from multiple jobs. She's fired from the role as Aunt Becky on Fuller House, which airs on Netflix. That's got that hits the old pocketbook. Never want to lose a Netflix show, man.
Nah.
They throw crazy.
I haven't watched any of that Fuller House.
Nah, me either. Me either. I never really watched Full House.
Oh, I loved Full House. Don't get me wrong.
I watched it. Right, but like
Stephanie was my boo.
it was an appointment watching for me, right? Like I feel like, I was more like, see, you watched Full House, but you didn't watch 90210. That's so weird to me. Like I watched 90210.
Yeah,
like that's what I watched when I was a kid. Like I was like watching like the older like Full House. Like the Olsen babies, and I was just like, eh. Hey, shout out also to the Olsen twins. This is totally random, and I was just talking about this the other night, but I just want to mention this. We were talking about child stars, right, and like what it does to human beings in America. I was the Michael Jackson, Britney Spears, other pushes them to the brink. And then I was like, what child star has ever been normal? I really haven't been able to find one.
You are not going to say the Olsen twins are normal.
I mean, they're kind of normal.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, from the
just because they haven't done anything. Like,
right.
Got arrested.
They're not crazy. They're not crazy. I mean, they're like billionaire rich. They've been like billionaire rich since they were like 12 years old. They had that whole, the whole mega brand thing. That's my point, is they've been famous since they didn't even know they were human. Like, they've been famous since they were nothing.
Yeah.
Their consciousness didn't even realize they were famous. They only know fame, and they've grown up to be Mary Kate. She is, I believe Mary is the one that's in the Avengers movies.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I believe she is. So she's getting a great paycheck
good
off
for
that.
Her.
I'm just saying they didn't shave their heads and had to go and institutionalized like that we know.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. Anyway, totally off topic. Back to Aunt Becky at Fuller House. She lost her job from Netflix. Well, it's not totally off topic. I mean, the Olsen twins were on Full House. All right. So Aunt Becky loses her job at Netflix, and she also loses her job at Hallmark. So she is out of gigs. And then the real kicker here, the segue that I'm getting to, her kids, the kids that she bought into, the one, Olivia Jade, the one that we've went over that said, hey, I'm not really, I don't know how much actual school I'm going to go to. Like, I'm there for the game day experience and the partying, right? Yeah, she's dropping out. But here's the real kick. This is also the same one that was found when she heard about her mother, Aunt Becky, being arrested. She was on a yacht, a billion-dollar yacht of a USC Board of Trustees member in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't like with him. It was her kids, blah, 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 but with his kids, I should say. So that daughter, Olivia Jade, the one that was on the yacht, she drops out of USC. But get this. It's over fears, and they, I guess both of them, there's two of them, that they'll be bullied at school.
Ugh. Yeah, right. It's not.
You
don't want to be made fun of and
thank you.
Like
that was the first thing I thought of.
Yeah,
was like, be careful how you use the word bully.
Yeah, because there are people out there and kids out there that are getting relentlessly bullied.
Bullied, making their lives a living hell.
Yes.
First of all, you're a millionaire. Second of all, you shouldn't have been in that school to be bullied in the first place.
Yep.
Third of all, you're beautiful. Not that that should really matter, but. Like you're
stop with the bullying.
You're a hot 19-year-old who has rich parents with millions of dollars. You are. I don't want to say you're incapable of being bullied, but you're incapable of being bullied.
Pretty much.
What is happening to you is exactly what you just said. You're being made fun of.
Yeah.
Which you deserve. First of all, you were an adult.
Yeah.
You knew this whole thing the way it was playing out. She was one of those children that knew that her parents were buying her into school.
You know, if you're as the person that's going to high school,
right.
You know if your grades are good enough to get into college.
Yes.
And you know what colleges your grades are good enough to get you into.
Not USC.
Not USC. If your mom has to pay $500,000 to get you into a school.
You're dumb as hell.
You are not good enough to go to that school.
Okay, dumb as hell.
And you know that.
Yeah.
Like, she said she doesn't like school, so it's obvious what she was doing in school. Just skating by, getting C's or whatever, you know.
This is so terrible. First of all, she gets into college in an entitled way.
Yeah.
Which teaches her that, I mean, anything that she wants is hers, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the flip side is when things get hard, well, I'm getting made fun of a little bit. Life's tough for me. I'm going to run away.
Yep.
And it is, I'd say I'd be worried because people like this are then going to be into the job force and we're going to have to put up with them. And maybe one day down the road, Mark Seidel's going to have to look through the resume of the thousands that you look through.
Uh-huh.
And have to, you know, make a decision. And maybe, hey, the resume looks good. Hey, she went to USC for a little bit. You know, point is, then they hire her. Then you realize the type of person you're dealing with.
Yep.
And, I mean, I'm not going to be like the old man shaking his fist at the sky. Wow, these kids these days. Because I do think that she is an outlier. But I also do think at the same time, this speaks to a certain type of middle class, upper middle class culture that we have in America.
Mm-hmm.
That is, if things get tough, just quit.
Yep. Walk away and do something else.
Walk away. Yeah, exactly. And that, I mean, you know, hey, where are we kidding, Mark? She's rich. It'll work out for her.
It always does.
It always does. Well, maybe not if you're Conor McGregor. Coming up next, we got a story. Conor McGregor is very rich, might be a little lesser. You heard about him smashing the phone. Now he's getting hit with the lawsuit. And get this, Conor McGregor is not the only former champion in the UFC that is battling some recent legal troubles. We'll tell you about that coming up next here on the Mac Attack.
The Mac Attack returns in minutes on 920 The Game. It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right, got a little late breaking news for you here. Clay Baker of our sister station over on ESPN, host of the Press Box, just sent out this tweet. I'm sitting at this gas station for 20 minutes now. I pay for gas, go outside as some dude has hit the shutoff valve and is now hurling rocks and swinging his belt at customers. No one can get gas or refund because the system is frozen. This I didn't expect. A follow-up about 30 minutes later, sorry, things got way out of hand and couldn't tweet. 215 in town center. So there's the location. I'm guessing things are wrapped up right now, but you know, hey, you never know what's going to happen in Las Vegas, Mark Seidel.
Hurling rocks
and swinging his belt.
That's why I carry the strap. son.
That's right. And you know what? That is a perfect case. He didn't have a strap, hence the rocks and belt. That's like what's closest around me.
Mm-hmm.
You have for distance, you have rocks, and for proximity, you have your belt.
Yep.
I mean, he's clearly a little off his rocker, but he can't say he's totally insane.
Off his rocker. I see what you did there.
Oh, I did. That wasn't even intended. I have to start owning this. I have to start owning my awesome puns that I don't actually intend to use. All right. Speaking of crazy people, what am I doing? I'm going to lead with Conor McGregor, not the other one, because the other one would just be insensitive. Conor McGregor, obviously, you heard the news this week. Conor McGregor smashed a phone in Miami of a fan who was filming him at 5 o'clock in the morning outside the Fontainebleau. Okay. We went over this, the whole filming a mega celebrity at 5 a.m. coming out of a club is never like... It's like jumping into a Jaguar pit to get a selfie, which that just happened, a few days ago.
You're going to get bit.
That moron. Yeah, you're going to get bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying Conor McGregor's not a Jaguar, but he does have a tiger tattoo on his stomach, and he is kind of crazy.
You've seen him throw a dolly at buses. And man, he's...
Yeah. Now, I know Miami doesn't get a lot of snow, especially, you know... At any time of year, but it might have been snowing at 5 a.m. coming out of a club at Miami. I'm just saying, emotions might be high.
You never know what's going on.
Might be a little icy.
Yeah.
So that fan, he actually released video, and actually the video pretty much backed up everything that I thought was that it was a guy that was wanting to get a video of Conor McGregor. They were fanboying out. Conor, I didn't think it wasn't super violent or menacing. It was just Conor being like, all right, you want to play that game? I'm going to play my game. You know, he probably shouldn't have taken the phone with him. I think that's where the strong arm robbery comes in.
Definitely.
But he's now getting sued from that victim for $15,000 for purposely trying to inflict psychological damage. It's a hack.
I mean, if you're going to go... If you're gonna sue him, you gotta go for more than $15,000.
Well, you also have to be realistic, right? It's just a phone.
Yeah, well, I'm saying mental damage. You go for like $500,000, and then you settle out of court for like $125,000 or something.
Okay.
You know, I feel like
15 and settle for like 7.5, and just be happy you got 7.5. Go get a new like 70-inch flat screen, maybe get a new PS4 Pro.
No doubt, and a new phone.
He said the phone was $1,000. I mean, that maybe, but that whole story was wild. We'll keep an eye on it. You know, it is obviously problematic in the sense that Conor McGregor just can't seem to keep his emotions under control. I know I'm kind of making it light of here and kind of like joking and having fun with it, but...
He's a dude who fights for a living.
Yeah, I know, for sure.
Like, I don't care who you are. Like, if there is not a single UFC fighter, boxer... Anything like that is a normal person.
Yeah, no, for sure. It takes a supremely unnormal person to do that job.
They've all got crazy in them.
It is in their blood, 100%.
You need to know that.
Yep, and they need it to be good at their jobs.
Yeah.
Right? I also think that there just needs to be an understanding, right, societally speaking. Right? Like, people didn't, like, mob up on Mike Tyson at 4 in the morning coming out of clubs.
No, because you knew better.
Because you knew better.
Yeah.
Not that he was particularly dangerous or anything like that.
Is it because Conor McGregor, you know,
he's just a little guy.
He's a smaller dude. Like, now, I mean, truthfully, like, if I was out at a club or something like that and I didn't know who Conor McGregor was and Conor McGregor was, like, popping off, you know, like, that's a dude you, like, look at, like, all right, dude, you're tiny.
Yeah.
You know, like compared to me.
Do him with the face mush.
Yeah. You know, and then I get my ass kicked.
Yeah, you get a wheel kick to the face. Yeah.
Like, but
you know, you would have never had that issue with Mike Tyson.
No. Mike Tyson was a heavyweight. You knew what was up.
You also knew Mike Tyson was Mike Tyson. But I just feel like let's get the reputation. Let's get word out on Conor McGregor, and maybe you won't have to deal with that stuff as often. Maybe he's a little crazy. Yeah. Maybe, you know, hands off. At least treat him like a treat him like a gremlin. Don't feed him after midnight. Don't feed him. Don't get him wet.
Uh-huh.
And make sure the sun's out. Basically that. Just make sure the sun's out.
Yeah.
Approach Conor in a well-lit area. Make sure the sun is risen. And that he's not in a party city. So no L.A. selfies, no Vegas selfies, no Miami selfies, no New York selfies, no Chicago selfies.
Yeah.
Everywhere else is pretty much fair game. Okay. Glad we got to the bottom of that.
Stay away. Basically, just stay away from Conor McGregor.
Right, exactly. So, following up on this, a much more serious story and a very unfortunate story on the MMA front. Tony Ferguson. UFC lightweight, one-time interim champion. Actually, still technically should be the interim champion because he hasn't lost that title. So he is a fighter. Number one, he's on a hell of a win streak in the UFC. He's one of the UFC's best pound-for-pound fighters.
Mm-hmm.
He's been sidelined a little bit. He hasn't been accepting fights. He was offered a fight with Max Holloway. Max Holloway was jumping up from 145 to fight at 155. And now Max Holloway has been booked in an interim title fight at 155. Tony's interim, so it's like Tony's interim title, so it's like an interim title shot.
A double interim.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but that'll be between Dustin Poirier and Max Holloway. Tony Ferguson didn't want to accept that fight. Basically made a comment about the money wasn't right. Then he made a comment on Twitter a couple days ago about how he's been antagonized and pressured into taking bad fights, and you know it's putting his family at risk. And then UFC president Dana White answered a fan's question on Instagram because the fans were like, yo, why isn't Tony in this interim fight? And Dana had basically said, you know, Tony's going through some personal issues right now. We hope to get it worked out, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then what was weird about the Dana White's comments about and this was on Instagram. He was just commenting to a fan.
Yeah.
You know, Dana had said that he was going through personal issues. Now, we hadn't heard anything about that in the media. We didn't. It was like, well, what's going on with Tony? People that I would assume were asking Tony about what was going wrong with him. And no one really knew. Well, now a couple days later, news does come out, and the news is disturbing. As I said, Tony Ferguson has had a temporary restraining order filed against him in Orange County by his wife. Now, it doesn't seem to be. Details are still coming out about this. We don't know all of the details, but what we do know is it was multiple incidents involving Tony. Nonviolent in terms of physically, I don't believe he put his hands on anyone in the family. He had issues with other members of the family that had called the police on him. Again, I guess what this sounds like is it's centered around incredibly erratic behavior.
Yeah.
Some of these stories are really, really frightening in the sense that it's clearly someone who's battling some intense demons, or maybe not even demons, just imbalances. We're not really sure. Stuff like cursing at his wife, yelling at his wife, and throwing holy water on her. Digging through his leg because he believes that there is a chip implanted in his leg and people are after him. Going into his, destroying his fireplace. Thinking that there were like things behind the wall, hidden in the wall, right? Mm-hmm. Like very concerning behavior that is surrounding Tony Ferguson. So that's what we have on that. This news was just coming out in the last 24 hours. So as we said, Tony Ferguson, UFC lightweight interim champion, obviously going through some stuff, has a restraining order filed by his wife. There's a couple things I want to get into in regards to this story real quickly. Number one, my first thought of this was, damn, Dana White. Like, I respect Dana White. You know, I like what he is in terms of being a quick-to-the-draw, passionate guy, right? Mm-hmm. I like him a lot more than I like Roger Goodell. And I don't agree with Dana White on a lot of things. And I think a lot of the things he does are detrimental to the sport and not a good look. Yeah. But on the flip side of that is, part of the reason that happens is because he's an emotional guy and he doesn't really think before he does certain things, right? And I kind of like that because we are in such a measured, corporate-controlled world, not just in sports, but in general, right? So he's kind of a refreshing, you know, sort of dose of energy, if you will, in that sense, right? So I want to preface that before I get into this. Dana White's comments on IG before any of this broke. You know, he's talking to a fan about Tony Ferguson going through personal issues. You don't think that had Tony's phone ringing off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, now I don't know what Dana knew or didn't know.
Yeah.
But you got to think that if you, I'll just say for the sake of posterity, let's just say that he knew on some level Tony was battling some mental illness, mm-hmm. or he had heard that potentially, you know, his wife was going to file this restraining order, or he had heard the police had been called to his house. Like clearly he knew something was going on enough to say that, you know, he's going through personal problems.
Yeah.
So, when I heard that, I found out when I was doing my satellite show yesterday in the middle of the show that this was all going down, my first reaction, first thought was, damn, Dana, like you shouldn't bring that to a public forum because now Tony, he's going to have fans hitting him up on Twitter. Tony, what's wrong? Yeah. You got personal issues?
Yeah.
He's going to have family hitting him up that didn't hear about it. Tony, what's going on? You know, he's going to have all these people hitting him up. And if you're a guy that's going through mental illness, that doesn't help the situation.
No, definitely not. So, you know, sometimes people that are, you know, fighting those those demons or whatever, you know, just might want to go get the help they need, you know, and whether it be the fact that his, you know, his wife filed for a restraining order.
Right.
That might have just been the push he needed to go, you know.
Well, hopefully. And that's what they said. Yeah. In this restraining order, the wife said, this isn't a malicious thing. I love my husband, but I feel like this is the only thing I can do to help get him on the right path to getting a healthy mind.
Yeah, definitely. To go get the help that he obviously needs. Yeah. You know, he needs to, you know, do something. And, you know, maybe he didn't want to do this in the public eye.
Exactly. And that's the thing is what added pressure did you just put on Tony Ferguson? Yep. Not blaming Dana White, just hopefully he learns from this. Yeah. If this is what it looks like optically you know, maybe he overstepped a little bit
What did you just put extra on his plate?
Yeah, and I get it. And that's why I said that's part of the stuff that I love about Dana, but that's kind of where I feel like, ooh, maybe it came back and bit him a little bit. And I'll follow up that, you know, to Dana, to everyone in the UFC, to just everyone in the sport, fans, really integral point in time for Tony Ferguson. This is a guy who has always been off kilter and wacky and a little different and gives weird interviews. Like, he's a weird dude, right?
Yeah.
Now we're finding out that, you know, there's a little bit more to that. And maybe his eccentricity is something else. My point here is, Mark, I don't want to see this guy fight again until we have a clear picture on what is going on with him. And more importantly, that we know that he has went and gotten the help that he needs. And then I want to hear from Tony Ferguson, because this kind of happened with Max Holloway. Max Holloway got pulled from a fight in July against Brian Ortega here in Las Vegas because of brain issues. He couldn't speak. He was passing out. He was having a serious reaction to something. And we didn't concussions, weight cut. We didn't know what it was. And I said I wanted a clear idea and understanding of what was happening. He fought again before we ever really knew what happened.
Yeah.
We asked him about it, and it was just kind of like, well, no one really knows. We're working on it, but we don't have any clear answers. That's not good, and that didn't make me feel good, and I still don't feel good about it, right?
Definitely not.
I want an answer on Tony Ferguson, and I want to hear from Tony Ferguson. Yeah. I don't care if it takes 2-3 years. I mean, he's 35 years old, so this couldn't have come at a worse time for Tony.
Most of these guys are looking at he knows he's 35. He knows that his time is running out, so get the money while you can.
But he's got to put brakes on that because he's got to get healthy.
That's scary, man.
It is. It's really scary. And as I said, I want to hear from Tony Ferguson. Mm-hmm. I want to hear him speak. I want to hear about his treatment, what he's done to heal himself up. All right, real quick, transition from MMA to the boxing front because, you know, okay, a little not great news there, but hopefully everything works out for Tony Ferguson. And you know, another thing, talking about mental health is the only way it's going to get better.
Yes.
If we don't address this stuff and have conversations about it.
You keep, you know, shoving it to the background and putting it out of your mind.
Yep.
Yeah, you need to get it out there and talk about it, because sometimes it's the people that you least expect it from. You know, and it's, you know, your hero fighter or whatever. And then
your happy cousin or your best friend. Yep, absolutely. 100%. And final thing in the fight world, this weekend in 24 hours, Errol Spence, Mikey Garcia is going down. This is a fight, truly fight fans. If you're not a boxing fan anymore, or if you're looking for one of those fights where, you know, you just hear boxing is dead, we know it's not. We've seen the numbers.
Yeah.
Pacquiao Mayweather was just a couple years ago and it broke every record and will never be seen again, right?
Yeah.
So boxing isn't dead. It is just going through a different period, right? Although two undefeated fighters in Errol Spence and Mikey Garcia. Now, Mikey Garcia is jumping up in weight. He is the undersized man. But again, he is undefeated in this fight. But the real draw here is Errol Spence Jr. This kid is, and he's not a kid, he's a man now, but he is a young man. I covered the original PBC out here in Vegas, that first PBC broadcast, and it was a headline fight by Keith Thurman, but the co-main event was a young Errol Spence, and I left that night, it was like 2014, 2015, just glowing and not being able to shut up about Errol Spence.
Yeah.
He is as close to Sugar Ray Leonard as you're going to see. He is long and rangy, but more than anything, the dude can bring the offense. He is an exciting fighter. Mikey Garcia, same thing. Mikey's obviously, actually arguably more exciting than Spence.
Uh-huh.
The real rub here is yes, Mikey's undefeated and he's an action fighter, but he is so outsized in this fight. Like, Mikey Garcia is nuts. He is jumping up two weight classes to take this fight against a guy no one in his own weight class wants to fight. No one wants Errol Spence. Now, Errol used to spar with Floyd Mayweather. Depending on the rumors you listen to, Errol got to Floyd Mayweather. Now, Floyd don't want any part of Errol now. And Errol, like I said, just get your eye on the future of boxing tomorrow. Whoever comes out of that fight, And if Mikey Garcia somehow wins, that is going to be a massive win for Mikey Garcia. And I promise you, you will be seeing a rematch. And then you'll probably be seeing another fight off that. So this is just one of those fights I'm imploring you, keep an eye on. And there's also another great fight. We're not going to have time to get into it because we got to get to the Dallas Stars and Vegas Golden Knights here going down tonight. Vegas Knights return to the ice. But another great fight going down in combat sports. UFC London, main event tomorrow between Darren Till and Jorge Masvidal. You talk about action fighters. You talk about awesome personalities. Jorge Masvidal is like a Junior Diaz brother. So tune in, watch Jorge fight Darren Till. Darren Till's only lost once in his career. It was to Tyron Woodley in his last fight out. So lots of good stuff in the combat sports world happening. Coming up next here on the Mac Attack, though, we got hockey talk. The Vegas Golden Knights returning to the ice tonight against the Dallas Stars.
You're listening to the Mac Attack. It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Get to this Vegas Golden Knights and Dallas Stars preview news here very quickly. But I had a post from our buddy JT the Brick over on our sister station over there, Fox Sports, right? This is a crazy, crazy tweet that I didn't even know this existed. And I'm an apparel lover. So this has to do with sports jerseys. Tweet from JT the Brink. Wow, my son told me and showed me jersey assurance. Can you believe this? Insurance for a jersey if a player leaves or is traded in the first 90 days of a purchase. Incredible. Is this a good move or insane? What message does it send to kids and the over 40-year-old dude who wears one? Well, I don't really care what message it sends to the 40-year-old dude.
Yeah.
But I do think it is interesting. Like, I go back to basketball, that movie, when they talked about, like, teams moving. Uh-huh. And this is the future of sports. Yeah. And this is what it's going to be like. I don't even think basketball could have foreseen a situation where you're going to have 90-day jersey insurance on your favorite athlete because people are moving cities that often.
That's crazy.
I wish I could have had, like, a 9-year insurance on a Jay Cutler jersey. I'll tell you what. You know what? I don't even need the full refund. Just, I don't know, like a printer cartridge and like one, a triple box of Milano cookies.
Yeah.
Like I need new printer ink, so I'll take that. And I feel like who doesn't love Milano cookies? I don't need money.
Very true.
What am I going to do with the Jay Cutler jersey? What am I going to do with a gun rack? I don't own a gun, let alone many guns that would necessitate an entire rack. Sorry, that was super obscure. Shout out to Wayne's World. All right, so I said we were going to get to it. VGK versus Dallas going down here just in a few hours. Feels like forever since the Golden Knights have been on the ice.
Yeah.
We went the whole week essentially not talking about the
entire week. Yeah.
We talked a little bit on Monday, but Monday was Antonio Brown Day.
Yeah.
Right? So it was like, okay, well, I mean, they played on Sunday. That was the last time we saw the Knights.
It's basically like a second bye week.
Yeah. It's pretty much what it feels like. Yeah. So the Golden Knights are going into Dallas tonight, and here's the real thing. They've been off so long. They're on their 71st game tonight.
Uh-huh.
Last night, the Arizona Coyotes played their 71st game. They won. They have now moved in to within 4 points of the Golden Knights.
They're coming.
Yo, there are 11 games left.
Yeah.
That is more than 10% of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bad at math, but I'm pretty sure I'm good with that. So it's like 13% of the season left, right? This is not outside the realm of possibility.
Of course not.
That the Arizona Coyotes catch the Vegas Golden Knights and knock them out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
That can happen.
You lose twice in a row and they win twice in a row. Boom, you're tied. That's all it takes.
And you're going to be playing them. I think they play them in the final game of the year.
How awesome would that be?
I'm checking the schedule right now. It's either the final home game or they hit. Actually, I think the final game of the Knights is against Los Angeles. Oh, sure. You don't want to bring up the one time I need you to pull up the full schedule. You bummed me. Thank you. All right. So, yes, they do. I was right. They end in L.A., the final game of the season, but the final home game is against the Coyotes.
Yeah.
So we have a very interesting push here till the end of the season. This is a big game on a multitude of fronts. Number one, you're playing the Stars, who are in the hunt of the wild card on their own. Mm-hmm. They are playing really, really well. I guess the one side note here, and this works out for Vegas, it's unfortunate news, but the hottest goaltender in the league right now is Ben Bishop of the Dallas Stars.
Mm-hmm.
He's carry a 3-game shutout streak into the game last night that they just played. Dallas is coming off a back-to-back. They played last night. They played against the Minnesota Wild. Bishop was paying coming off three consecutive shutouts. That is stupid.
That's crazy.
That's not even like fathomable. And then into the game last night, he had a shutout going. He's 32 years old. Actually ended up breaking Ed Belfour's franchise shutout streak by surpassing Belfour Stars' record of 219 minutes and 26 seconds without.
Wow.
Yeah, let me say it again. 219 minutes and 26 seconds without allowing a goal. Problem is just about right after he surpassed Ed Belfour's record, he went down with a lower body injury.
Oof.
He did not return last night, and he's not going to be playing tonight. So, big gift to the Vegas Golden Knights. And yeah. I'm telling you, Ben Bishop, he had a shutout here in Las Vegas last season. I remember because outside of Jonathan Quick in the playoffs, the Los Angeles Kings, it was probably the best goalie performance I've ever seen played in T-Mobile Arena. The dude was all over the ice. Now, so that is good news for the Vegas Golden Knights. Obviously, bad news for sports fans and Dallas Stars fans. And I'm of the opinion that, you know, I always want to see the best. I want to see the best
for the
best. Of course,
yeah.
And Ben Bishop is playing as one of the best right now. But, as I said, will not be in there tonight. Still, though, 4 points is 4 points. I don't want to like ring the alarm bell. I don't know what you want to, like.
Yeah.
4 points is 4 points.
Definitely.
We didn't think this guy, I didn't really think this could happen because I presume that there was enough cushion there, but maybe not. Maybe not. There is a possibility the Vegas Golden Knights don't make the playoffs.
Wow.
We'll see. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. I feel like they're a much better team than Phoenix.
Yeah.
Arizona. But, yeah, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Point being, we're going to be watching the next 11 games very closely.
It's put up or shut up time.
It absolutely is put up or shut up time. Good news is also for the Knights, though, got a streak of home games coming up. A little bit of alternating here towards the end, but you're going to get the Jets at home, which is nice. You're going to get the Wild at home, who are battling for their own spot. So, and then you're going to get Arizona at home, which is big. You don't have to go on the road to face some of these teams. So. Specifically Winnipeg. So something to keep an eye on. 11 games left. Vegas Golden Knights are 12 games left. Tonight will be the 71st. So, yeah, we keep an eye on that. Line rushes for tonight. Well, first of all, yay, Marc-Andre Fleury's in.
Yeah.
So
Flower.
Yeah. We could figure that with essentially a bye week.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to be seeing Malcolm Subban in there tonight. So you're going to be seeing one of the best goalies in the league. Obviously not Ben Bishop is going to be playing, but Marc-Andre Fleury will be in there. And it looks like Brandon Peary is going to be a healthy scratch tonight. And in his place, Tomas Nosek will be slotting in on the third line. So you get third line of Tomas Nosek, Cody Eakin, and Alex Tuck. The rest of the lines, we will see how that plays out. It looking like one and two are going to be the same. Marshall Carlson and Smith and Pacioretty, Stastny and Stone. Maybe a little shake up in the fourth line with Belmar, Carpenter, Reeves, and we'll see where Zekov lands. But yeah, so it's looking like Vegas Golden Knights, Dallas Stars going down at 5 o'clock in Dallas. So a little bit earlier than maybe we're used to. Not an East Coast game, so most of you'll be off work by then. Go out and
go
catch
check
a
it
game.
Out.
Yeah, where are the insiders at tonight?
They are Lindo Michigan, I think.
Okay. All right, Henderson or the other location, do we know?
Henderson, I believe.
Okay, so we got VGK, Frank, and Ryan the hockey guy. They will be out at Lindo Michoacan in Henderson getting you ready for that game. We got Cofield and company down at the, the Golden Tiki down at TI?
Treasure Island, yep.
There you go, down at Treasure Island. So we got a full Lotus Broadcasting blanket for you across the Las
Vegas
Valley.
All across the valley.
That's right. We will be back on Monday for a full recap. Not only are the Knights in action tonight against the Stars, they're playing the Edmonton Oilers on Sunday. So we'll be touching on that on Monday. Enjoy your weekend, fans. Say that I'm rich.